Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Early in my marriage, my ex-husband and I took a vacation to Door County. I know many of you have been there. Matthew had learned to sail as a kid and was on the sailing team in college. And so when he saw that we could rent a small sailboat, he was excited to get it out on the water. Now, I grew up in landlocked Nebraska. I had never sailed a boat. I had canoed at 4-H camp, and I had been on ships and ferries, but I had never sailed before. But we decided to rent a small sailboat in Sister Bay, and Matthew assured me that he would give me directions on what to do. We had to sign waivers, of course, that said we knew what we were doing and that we knew how to swim. We were given life jackets, and we entered the waters. It was a beautiful, beautiful sunny day. It was not stormy, just enough wind to have a nice afternoon sail. The thing was, Matthew had not really given me very thorough instructions before we set off. He probably quickly ran through the commands, but I hadn't fully absorbed them. So we were in the northern part of Green Bay, if you know your geography, and it was not stormy, but the waves were significant. Matthew began to yell out sailing terms like "come about" and "prepare to jib" and "move to starboard." I had not fully absorbed at all what those commands meant, and before I knew it, we tipped and went overboard. We got ourselves back in the boat, of course, but I was not a happy camper. I was in a situation where I did not feel at all confident. I did not have any control in a body of water that had the potential to be quite rough, and I was anxious and afraid. This seems to be slightly similar, just slightly, to the situation in which the disciples find themselves. They were much more experienced sailors than I was, of course, and they were in an incredibly intense storm at sea. The waters were rougher, the wind was stronger, and these experienced fishermen were terrified. It had to have been a very intense storm. Now, if you were here last week, you remember that I spoke about the image of water in our scriptures and the fact that water used in the sacrament of baptism holds rich meaning. And in this scripture, it's important for us to understand what water symbolized for God's people at this time. In the Hebrew scriptures, water represents chaos and also a threat. God has power over the waters, as evident in multiple Bible stories. There's the parting of the Red Sea, for example, so that Israel could escape Pharaoh's soldiers. God caused the great flood, but God eventually commanded the waters to abate, leading to a new start, which begins with Noah and his family who survived on the ark. God also parts the Jordan so that God's people may be led into the promised land. So Jesus' disciples, Jews who knew these stories, who knew that God controlled the waters, they were faced with an incredible realization when Jesus came walking across those stormy waves amid strong winds. Jesus was exhibiting the same power as God. Jesus had commanded the water to carry him across the waves, and when Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, it is I," this is even more evidence that Jesus embodies Yahweh God himself. The Greek words ego eimi can mean "it is I," but they were also used in the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, what is called the Septuagint, to describe God when he appears to Moses through the burning bush. So when Jesus says, "I am here," he is also saying God is here. Because God describes himself, as you may remember, as the great I am. I am here. God is here. Jesus is God. When Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, I am here," it is meant to reassure the disciples that they need not worry, because God himself is with them. We might describe the stormy waters in this text from Matthew as simply life, because life involves stormy waters and all the emotions that go along with them. You quilters out there might know that this is a pattern called storm at sea. We can be going about our ordinary day when something happens which causes us to be fearful or anxious, some of those waves in the storm. A loved one diagnosed with a serious illness. Perhaps our spouse loses their job or our child is in a car accident. It could be the wildfires in Canada or Colorado or California are getting worse and closer to where a loved one lives, with the possibility of destroying their home. We worry. A tornado warning comes across the TV or our cell phone, and we worry about our safety. But it could also be as simple as someone speeding around us on the expressway, cutting in front of us with what feels like inches to spare. Or our child or grandchild stepping off the curb before the walk sign lights up. You know, there are multiple times a day when our brain moves into fight or flight, and we need God's presence to bring us peace. When the disciples were in the boat in the midst of high winds and choppy waters, they were scared, terrified even, that their fishing boat would capsize. Being at sea was part of their lives, but who wouldn't experience fear in such a vicious storm? When Jesus, their teacher and friend, who stayed beside on land to pray and regroup, comes walking across the waters, the disciples looked at him in shock and awe. Jesus could control the waves. Jesus was calm in the midst of the storm. And that fact initially made the disciples fearful because it was counterintuitive to them. How could someone walk on water? How could someone be so calm in the midst of the storm? Peter, however, was curious and asked Jesus to give him the same ability. And so Peter entered the waters and began his journey toward Jesus. But when the wind gust came upon him again, he faltered. He began to sink, and he cried out to Jesus for help. And Jesus, of course, reaches out his hand and took Peter's and pulled him up. Jesus scolds Peter for his lack of faith, but the rest of the disciples still in the boat realize in that moment that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. My friends, Jesus is in the water with us. God, through Jesus Christ, is in the chaotic waters of life with us. When we become fearful of the chaos and we are worried about fully entering into whatever is being thrown at us, we have to remember that God is right there, ready to catch us. Jesus reaches out his hand and won't let us sink. When my son Spencer was a baby, that first summer when he was 3 or 4 months old, we went to a pool party of a friend. I had Spencer in the water with me, encouraging him and letting him know that the cool water was refreshing and fun. Babies are held in the comfortable waters of the womb for 9 months. Those waters are nurturing and warm. But once a baby is born and experiences a bath for the first time, there are often some tears as they get used to this new experience. As I walked around the pool with him, a friend of mine who had been a lifeguard said, "The best way for babies to learn how to swim is to just throw them into the water." Now, there is indeed a thing called the swimming reflex or a diving reflex. And babies will instinctively close their mouths, open their eyes, slow their heart rate, and begin to paddle with their arms and legs. Even though I knew I would be right there to rescue Spencer, I was not ready for that. And as one website states, this inborn trait certainly keeps babies from drowning, but it doesn't mean they can actually swim on their own for any length of time. They need supervision and eventually taught to swim. The waters of faith are similar. We are born into this world with an instinct to bond with our parents and to trust them. We're entrusted to God's love and care through the gift of prevenient grace, that grace that is given to us even before we can comprehend what it is. Our parents, when they bring us for baptism, are promising to be with us as we grow and learn about faith in Jesus. There will be times when we doubt and question who God is, and our spiritual mentors, our parents, those in our church family are there to answer our questions and walk with us on the journey. The waters of the life of faith can be calm and beautiful and peaceful. But we also know they can be chaotic and scary too. As we reach our teenage years and learn more, as we take confirmation classes and enter the waters, we certainly will have moments of great faith. We walk on the water with Jesus and it is wonderful. But we, like Peter, will also have moments when we are fearful. We begin to doubt God's presence and faithfulness because someone let us down, or something bad happened to us or someone we love, or someone told us that our faith was silly and stupid. We start to flounder in the chaos. But when we call out, Jesus is right there to hold our hand and bring us to safety. We're brought back to what we have known, the gift of God through God in Jesus Christ. We enter the waters holding God's hand. Jesus holding our hand, and our faith is firmly planted in God once again. The peace that passes all understanding known in Christ comes over us in the midst of the challenging experiences of everyday life. This story of Jesus walking on the water occurs also in the Gospels of Mark and John, as well as Matthew. What is different in the Gospel of Matthew is that Peter asks to walk on the water. One commentator points out that because one disciple took a risk, that step of faith had an impact on the rest of the disciples. In other words, we cannot embark on this faith journey alone. We cannot enter the water alone. That is why, as a congregation, we take vows to nurture the baptized, to nurture them in their walk with God. That is why small group participation, communal worship, and praying together is so vital to our ability to remain faithful. Peter took the risk, and it had a great impact on the rest of the group. But they all, including Peter, needed each other. The community of believers, not just this congregation, but the entire church, universal, is stronger together. Anytime we face challenges in life, it is much easier when we have someone to journey with. When I started seminary, our class was divided up into small covenant discipleship groups, just like the Holy Club that John and Charles Wesley started at Oxford. Seminary is not only vigorous academically, it often challenges one's beliefs in the midst of learning more about Scripture and how others see God, the resurrection, and the way Jesus and the Holy Spirit work. The covenant group, which was to meet weekly, was a chance to talk about those challenges with others who were going through similar experiences. Being with other students to share and pray together was so very helpful. When I was in a very difficult appointment years ago, I had the chance to be in a covenant group with fellow clergy. And for those 2 years, I met regularly with three others for the same practice, sharing about our ministry and our lives and spending time in prayer together. I could not have made it through that difficult appointment without that community in my small covenant group. The disciples were able to get through the death and resurrection of Jesus and their ministry because they had a community of support. The baptismal covenant, the covenant that is made at our baptism, is not just about me and Jesus or you and Jesus. Yes, our relationship with Jesus Christ is a significant part of it, but just as important is the covenant that we make as the body of Christ. We enter the waters of baptism together on our journey of faith. And perhaps we know the risks, but we may not realize the importance of the covenant with our siblings in Christ until we actually begin to falter. When we lose sight of the one who is holding out his hand to us, we need others as well as God to help us see him again. We enter the waters together and can be assured that Jesus will indeed reach out to us and that our siblings in Christ have jumped in as well. We are never alone on the journey. Thanks be to God. Amen.